Senate Environment Natural Resources Committee is open. We're going to take the bills in order. And we're going to start with a public hearing on HB 2068. Sue?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2068 adds the state forester as a voting ex officio member of the Invasive Species Council, directs the voting ex officio members of the council to collectively appoint the other members of the council.
And first and last up, Dan Hilburn, Ted Lorenzen, and somebody with the initials RH whose name I cannot make out. Is that it?
Yeah.
All right, come on up, Mr. Henry. Hilburn, Lorenzen, you in the room?
Yep,
come on up. Welcome.
Thank you.
Feel free, whichever one of you would like to begin.
Okay. Ted Lawrence, members of the committee. I'm Ted Lawrence, Assistant State Forester with the Oregon Department of Forestry. This bill is quite simple. Basically, like Sue Marshall said, it adds the state forester as a member of the Invasive Species Council as a voting ex officio member, and that's done because of the way the statute's framed. But it makes sense given the statute. Very clearly, what we have heard from forest landowners is that invasive species are becoming a larger and larger problem on forest lands. They've asked through the Board of Forestry's issues process to address invasive species more actively, and this will help serve that purpose. And with that, we support the proposal.
Very good. My name is Dan Hilburn. I'm an administrator of the Plant Division for the Oregon Department of Agriculture, and I'm also the current chair of the Oregon Invasive Species Council. We are also supporting this bill, both as the department and the Invasive Species Council. Just a little background. The council was created in 2002, and it had four state agencies on it. It has agriculture, fish and wildlife, Portland State University, and Oregon State University. And looking back, I think it was an oversight not to include forestry back then, because since then, forest pests and diseases have really skyrocketed in importance. And sudden oak death is a good example, but it's not the only one. We found an Asian gypsy moth this year in St. Helens, and there's a spray project going on right now. European gypsy moth, for the first time, was found in central Oregon. Emerald ash borer is another one that we've got our eye on. It's spreading rapidly in the Midwest. Asian longhorn beetle and citrus longhorn beetle are both established in certain parts of the country, and they're major pests of forest trees. So the forest pest and disease issue with exotics and invasives is definitely on the rise. ODF needs to be at the table to help coordinate efforts, and we hope you'll give this bill serious consideration and pass it.
Thank you. All right, Chair Vakin, members of the committee. My name is Randy Henry. I'm the Policy Planning Analyst for the State Marine Board, and I'm here to support House Bill 2068. I've served on the State Invasive Species Council since 2003. This council is an impressive bunch of people tackling issues that are behind the scenes with potential to affect every Oregonian. The council is constantly striving to improve itself to become effective in guiding policymakers and agency programs towards informed decisions about invasive species. We are a broad collection and background of specialties with many perspectives, public and private, that drive our research and outreach activities. My term on the board will end next year, allowing someone from another agency or organization with an interest and a stake in invasive species to climb aboard. However, certain agencies need more than a rotating seat at the table. It's clear to me that the Oregon Department of Forestry has an incredibly important land management role in Oregon, and we need them to effectively manage invasive species in the state. Also, by having a permanent seat at the table, their expertise will help form a foundation benefiting both organizations. This is a critical time for invasive species prevention efforts in Oregon. The issue of sudden oak death, which has serious ramifications for Oregon's nursery industry and for our forest management, is a prime example of why forestry needs to have a permanent seat at the table. The Oregon Invasive Species Council is a constant and very fertile connection between natural resource agencies and organizations. A strong and personal connection between the Department of Forestry and the Department of Agriculture is crucial, and this connection through the council should be permanent. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Henry. Committee, any questions? Okay, seeing none, thank you, the three of you. With that, I'm going to close the public hearing on 2068. We'll entertain a motion. Work session.
Mr. Chair, move House Bill 2068 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Atkinson moves 2068, due pass recommendation to the floor. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Beyer, would you do the honors?
Sure.
And with that, I'll close the work session on 2068, open a public hearing on 2069A. And Sue, while you're filling us in, Sarah Lipow, would you come up?
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2068A adds research to the purposes of the State Forest Tree Seed Bank, provides specific authority for the State Forester and the State Board of Forestry to operate the State Forest Tree Seed Orchard, establishes purposes of the orchard, establishes subaccounts for the State Forest Nursery, the State Forest Tree Seed Bank, and the State Forest Tree Seed Orchard.
Welcome.
Thanks, Chair Abrakini and members of the committee. I'm Sarah Lebel, the geneticist for the Oregon Department of Forestry. And thank you for the opportunity to testify in support of House Bill 2069. This bill clarifies the legal and financial framework under which the department manages the J.E. Schroeder Seed Orchard and the Forestry Seed Bank. The seed orchard was established in the 1970s as a cooperative cost-share project between the state and private industry. It produces forest tree seed that's used for reforestation projects by the state, family forest landowners, and industrial landowners. This bill creates an independent statutory authority for the seed orchard. Presently, the authority to operate it is inferred from state forest management plans, the seed bank statute, and the forest nursery statute. By creating an independent authority, the department seeks to memorialize the relationships that have evolved by practice over many years and ensure that the seed orchard's benefits continue to be available. This bill also broadens the authority of the state to operate a forestry seed bank. This seed bank makes a variety of high-quality seed available to family forest landowners. The present authority does not allow the department to make long-term investments in seed orchards and tree improvement programs. These programs are inherently long-term, requiring years or even decades before seeds produced. This bill expands the department's authority to make those longer-term investments. House Bill 2069 has no fiscal impacts. It defines and supports the current operation of the seed orchard on a self-sustaining basis, and it enables the seed bank to continue to operate as a as a revolving account.
Okay, any questions? Let me ask you something, Ms. Lipo. Have you testified much in front of one of the Senate committees? I don't think you've been before us.
No, I have not.
Well, I must tell you, you did something remarkably well. We have in front of us a letter that is a good letter, gives us a lot of information, and you hit the high points of every single paragraph without reading the letter and giving this committee all the information it needs. Just cut your testimony in about half and allowed us to do the job we needed. Very nicely done.
Thank you.
I wish everyone could follow that. With that, are you ready for a motion? As soon as you get out of the
And you're off the hook. Thank you.
Right, thank
Very
you.
Nicely done. Close the public hearing on House Bill 2069A. Open the work session and a motion, please.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2069 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Prozanski. Move 2069A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Prozanski, would you do the honors, please?
You bet.
And I will close the work session on 2069A and open a public hearing on 2287A. And Jim Kramer and Dennis Hayes, come on up while Sue is letting us know about the bill.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2287A adds commercial flower seed to the existing law regulating the labeling, purity, and marketing of seed.
And just so you two know, we'll go to 2289 right after this, so don't feel the need to get up and leave when we're done here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Mr. Kramer, you want to go ahead?
I would. Thank you, Chair Avakian. House Bill 2287 before you, A, is a department-sponsored bill.
Oh, go ahead and give us your name.
Jim Kramer. administrator in the Oregon Department of Agriculture for the Commodity Inspection Division. And House Bill 27A is an industry-sponsored bill, and after listening to you talk about being brief, you can see that just a couple of things there that we've been trying to do, as Mr. Hilburn had testified earlier on a previous bill, trying to find ways to stop the introduction or limit the introduction of noxious weeds or other pests or diseases is something that the department takes pretty seriously, and this is one of those bills. So 2287, have in front of you, a lot of industry support.
Good. Mr. Hayes?
My name is Dennis Hayes. I'm the Executive Vice President, Oregon Seed Trade Association. We represent seed companies that deal in forage seed, grass seed, and flower seed. And our association has reviewed this bill and supports it, feels it should come under the part of the department's administration.
Very good. Committee, any questions? Seeing none, thank you both. I'll close the public hearing on 2287A and open a work session on 2287A.
Mr. Motion. Mr. Chair, move House Bill 2287A to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you, Senator Atkinson. Moving 2287A to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. I'll go ahead and take that one. Close the work session on 2287A and open public hearing on 2289.
Chair Vakian, for the record, my name is Jim Kramer, Administrator of the Commodity Inspection Division. And 2289 is a bill that would give the agency authority to draft administrative rules for overseeing the wild bird feed in Oregon. It'd make us compatible with our neighboring states of Idaho and Washington, and allow us to again have an attempt to be able to put a handle on a vector for noxious weed seed.
Good. Mr. Hayes.
My name is Dennis Hayes, Mr. Chairman, committee members. In this position, I'm the Executive Secretary of the Oregon Feed and Grain Association. We have reviewed this. We monitor, we work with the department on the feed law in Oregon, and our members have supported the idea of the bird feed coming as part of the department's function so that it's weed seeds are not in there, they can test for it, and things can be properly labeled. So we support that bill.
Very good. Thank you. Fitty?
Mr. Chair.
Senator Byer.
We have in front of us a letter from Wild Bird Feeding Industry. And they had a complaint about Section 4 of the bill, but I see the letter is dated March 8th, so have they changed their opinion in the last 2 months about the bill?
Senator, Mr. Chair, I don't know that they have or not. We've had discussions with them about that. The department has had discussions with them, and we have advised them that they will be at the table when it comes to establishing administrative rules regarding that. And they seem to be happy with that.
Okay. Anything further, committee? If not, thank you both very much. I'll close the public hearing on 2289. Open a work session on 2289.
Mr. Chair, I'd move House Bill 2289 to the floor with the due pass recommendation.
Senator Atkinson moves 2289 to the floor with due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Atkinson, carry that one. Open up public hearing on 29. Close the work session on 2289, if I didn't. Open a public hearing on 2970. Sue, while you're filling this in, Roy Elliker, Ron Englund, Dave Cleary, come on up.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2970 clarifies that suspension or revocation of violators' license pursuant to the Wildlife Violators Compact begins on the date that the Fish and Wildlife Commission issues a final order and may continue for a period more than 24 months based on the period of time imposed by the other party state.
Thank you. Go right ahead.
And Chair Atkins, committee members, my name is Dave Clare. I'm with the Oregon State Police. I think Mr. Elliker is in another committee meeting testifying at this point. With that, this bill, we have been involved in this compact for many years. Oregon was one of the first states to sign the compact, get it going, but it's been numerous years before Oregon has actually participated. I think ODFW could give you the details, but we've gone through the series now of trying to implement the impact. This bill clarifies some issues we found in following through those rules as we proceeded the appeals process and the timing. My testimony was going to tell you what the impact is to our fish and game officers, as we think this bill is very important to us, as many violators, when we contact them, issue them a citation, it's not what the fine is, what's going to happen is, am I going to lose my license? We think the privilege to hunt and fish in Oregon is very valuable and outweighs in many times any fine or penalties that a court will hand down. So our officers are see this as a very good thing. We do work with other states. We've had cases where Washington has suspended people on the Columbia River. Our officers have worked with them on that case, only to find that our process is slow and cumbersome, and that by the time we find out there's a conviction in Washington, we work it through our process. The guy's already gone out, bought an Oregon license, and is fishing in the same place that we caught him earlier making a violation with our sister states. We also find that these violators will travel to another state. Personally, I had a violator in Southern Oregon. I think it was the third time I got him suspended for violations. Thought I was finally done with him. And 2 months later, I'm investigating him because Idaho calls and says, hey, we're looking for this guy. In the meantime, I got calls on the same violation that I had to investigate. So using the violator compact, these people can't jump across borders, continue their illegal activity, and bring it back home. I think we have 23 member states now. It's growing in popularity. I think this is going to make a huge impact. We haven't been using it very long, so I can't give you data how effective it is. But if this goes forward, I think in a couple years, we're going to see some real impacts from it.
Very good. Committee, any questions for, I'm sorry, is it Officer Cleary?
Lieutenant.
Lieutenant, thank you.
One question. Lieutenant, you said that the different states are most, if not all of our neighboring states, members of the compact?
I believe so at this point, yes.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Lieutenant. Appreciate your testimony very much. Mr. Elkins?
Mr. Chair, for the record, I'm Al Elkins, representing the Oregon Hunters Association. I'm here in, to provide testimony in support of 2970. Lieutenant Cleary pretty well outlined what the concern is and how the bill addresses that concern. And I can talk some more, but I think I'll make it more confusing than it really needs to be. So I'd be glad to answer.
Good enough. Thanks, Mr. Elkins. Any questions? Seeing none, close the public hearing.
Thank you.
Close the public hearing on 2970. Open a work session on 2970.
Mr. Chair.
Senator.
I would move House Bill 2970 to forward the due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Atkinson moves 2970 to forward due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Prozanski, if you will, carry the bill. And close the work session on 2970. Open a public hearing on House Bill 3068. And while Sue gets that, if Chris Worth, Ron Montgomery, Tracy Rutten could come forward.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 3068 expands the powers and duties of Vector Control District Board and County Court to include prevention or control of public health vectors and predatory animals. And just for the record, we've received a letter of support from the Coalition of Local Health Officials.
Chair Hockian, members of the committee, good afternoon. For the record, my name is Tracy Rutten. I'm here today representing the Special Districts Association of Oregon. I have to admit I'm pitch hitting today. My colleague Amanda Rich is out due to a family medical emergency, so I'm going to do my best here, but just simply state the Special Districts Association of Oregon supports House Bill 3068, and I would like to, I think actually being distributed shortly will be some written testimony from Ron Montgomery on behalf of the Oregon Vector Control Association in support of the bill, and also a letter from the Oregon Environmental Health Association, and you already have received a letter from Linda Fleming. And just to express some of the support that we have received on the House side through the Vector Control Association, there are a number, actually 12 individual districts, vector control districts that are supporting this bill from all across the state, several including Klamath Vector Control, Multnomah County Vector Control, Union County, Clackamas County, Jackson County, West Umatilla, Washington County, and the Department of Human Services. With that, I'd like to introduce the two gentlemen here today who know far more about this bill than I do. Ron Montgomery, the president of the Oregon Vector Control Association and program director of West Umatilla Vector Control District. And to my left is Chris Worth, the immediate past president of the Oregon Vector Control Association and program director for the, let's see here, Vector Control with Multnomah County Health. Hopefully I got that right.
Mr. Montgomery, you want to go ahead?
Yes, sir. Chair Lockian and members of the committee. Good afternoon. My name is Ron Montgomery. I'm with Umatilla County Vector Control District. I also serve a volunteer position as president of the Oregon Vector Control Association. I'll be very brief. We support House Bill 3068. Vector control in Oregon is a matter of public health, and we believe that these changes will allow vector control districts and board members to do a better job of protecting the public health. So that is that would complete my testimony.
Very good. Thank you. Mr. Worth.
In spirit of the brief testimony today, I'll go ahead and follow that suit, but am making myself available for any questions if the committee has that.
And I'm sure you're supporting the bill.
Yes, very much so.
Okay, good. Committee, any questions?
Mr. Chair, I do have a couple of questions.
Senator Bates.
If you can't answer this, I understand. Mr. Chair, I'd like to ask a couple of questions. One
go ahead.
What are integrated pest management methods?
Chair Vaki and Senator Bates, integrated pest management is kind of a national standard, which really looks at on a case-by-case scenario, and it involves things such as education, identification of what the issue is, all kinds of detailed things, to really come up with a comprehensive approach to try to solve vector issues, or in this case, a mosquito problem.
Well, it says, Mr. Chair, it says eradication, so this is something more than educating mosquitoes. What do you do to eradicate mosquitoes?
Chair Vaki and Senator Bates, actually, in an integrated pest management model, we're actually not looking to eradicate any pest species. What we're really looking to do is suppress that to a tolerable level of public health.
The bill says that's the way I read the bill. At least it says you're eradicating public health factors using integrated pest management methods. I mean, it could be draining water, it could be getting rid of water, for example, or is it spraying? Is it using oil on water? I mean, what is it? Do you know? No, it's okay.
No, Senator Vaki and Senator Bates. Actually, it's all those things that you described. There's multiple methods. So it could be managing wetland habitats. It could be using oils on water, as you described. Those are all reasonable methods.
Mr. Chair, different question. Any one of you can answer that wants to. The bill previously said, the law previously said that a district had to get an okay from Fish and Wildlife to use pesticides on water that had waterfowl in it or a game fish in it. The bill's been changed to say they may. Okay, may not apply. I'm not sure what that change really means here. Do you still have to go through Fish and Wildlife in order to spray?
Chair Vaki and Senator Bates, I believe that particular change came through Legislative Council, and I don't believe that was something that we had put in there.
I think that's the same thing we've talked about earlier as far as change of may not, shall not. It's just a scribbling error.
Anything
Thank
further?
You,
Mr.
Chair.
Senator Beyer.
Thank you. Actually, on that section, it wasn't to shell to may. That was interesting to ask the question about. But the way I read it, under current law, a board of trustees for a district needs to obtain approval every time they wish to apply pesticides. And this is an annual basis. So that means you're going to, I assume, draft some comprehensive plan at the start of the year and submit it. And Fish and Wildlife is going to have to prove it. Is that what it's talking about?
Mr. Chair, Senator Beyer, that's exactly the way we do it now. We submit a yearly pesticide use plan to Fish and Wildlife, and to the Oregon Department of Health. And we work very closely with both of those agencies to identify sensitive areas in the plan, and we do require approval. And I don't believe that this this law would change that.
So if you submit an annual plan and you want to deviate from it, what do you have to do?
Chair Vaki and Senator Beyer, we would submit an addendum to the plan, and we would seek approval before we made any deviations from the plan.
One last question.
Yeah.
I'm sorry to hang up here. Potentially this is kind of important. The bill also says that a district is not required to obtain a license as a pesticide operator or to furnish evidence of financial responsibility to the department, being DHS, on applying pesticides for prevention, control, or eradication. I haven't had time to read all the statutes on this. I was grabbing as I went along. Are you required, though, that when you have this applied, you must hire somebody that has a license? Okay. Is that what this bill is really saying? Is you don't have to have a license yourself. The person you hire has to have a license. And we make farmers and agricultural workers be licensed for this, for especially for using pesticides, pretty tight control, and they have to have education and licensing for it. This says the district doesn't have to have it, and you're not responsible financially for doing it. But is also a somewhere you have to hire somebody that does have a license, except the way this is supposed to work?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, all applications made by any vector-controlled district in this state are licensed applicators. I believe the language in here deals with what type of license. We currently operate under a public health license, a public applicator license. This change is to allow us to offer services to other parts of the county that are not contiguous with the district on a cost recovery without receiving a commercial applicator license, which is much more cumbersome for the district. And then I believe there are some financial also some financial requirements that have to be made. This has been very prohibitive for districts to get that type of license to provide mutual aid to other cities in their jurisdiction or in their county. So to answer your question, all of our applicators are licensed. They're not commercial licensed, however, they're public applicator licensed.
Mr. Chair, I assume that their training is the same, though. They understand what they're doing and why they're doing it and the dangers of what they're doing. Correct?
Mr. Chair, Senator Bates, I can tell you that my staff that receives training to receive their license is very vigorous training. The tests are not easy. And I have a fairly high rate of having them retake the test, so I can speak to the public health test is not something that is you just walk in and take a test and get a license.
Okay. And Chair Vaki and Senator Bates, may I add something to that question? There's a variety of training methods and modules out there for public health applicators. Besides those that Ron Montgomery described to you, there's a mix of people with degrees in entomology, people with degrees in biology, and then, of course, multiple levels of licensure under the public health applicator license.
Okay. I'm sure the committee knows the answer to this much smarter than me, but I can read the bill and get some sense of what the word vector means, but I think it's a really odd word in this context. I'm wondering if any of you know the origins of it.
Chair Vaki and members of the committee, part of the bill addresses that exact quandary that we're in. A lot of folks don't understand what the word vector means, which is why we're asking to use the word mosquito in the name of the program. A vector under Oregon law is any animal capable of transmitting a disease from one animal to another. In our case, mosquitoes and rats serve as the bridge vectors of diseases to humans and animals.
Right.
And I believe the origin of that word, well, I don't know the origin other than what the ORS describes it and defines it as.
Should we have them come back next week?
Yeah, I don't know where the word came from, but you have to worry about rabbits too, tularemia, rabbit fever. You've got bubonic plague with rats.
Right. Well,
you got mosquitoes.
I'll tell you what I would like, because Senator Bates is going to carry this bill on the Senate floor, and I would like for one of you to get him
the definition
of the origin of the word vector before we get to the Senate floor. Is that fair enough?
Fair enough.
All right.
Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. Mr. Witt, would you like to come up?
Just looking at Webster's Dictionary.
Thank you, Chair Vakian, members of the committee. My name is Terry Wick, representing Oregonians for Food and Shelter. We worked with the previous panel in crafting this legislation. We fully support it, and I'd be glad to answer any questions. I can answer more fully if you're interested. The question
if you don't
regarding
know the origin of the word, we're not interested.
Nope.
We're convinced it's good. We're convinced it's good and it's safe.
Okay.
All right. No, thank you, Mr. Witt. Close public hearing on 3068. Open a work session on 3068.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 3068 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Senator Atkinson moves 3068 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion? Any objections? Seeing none, so ordered. Senator Bates.
I'm glad to hear it.
And with that, we close the work session on 3068. Sue, anything else? No, thank. And we're adjourned.
Cool.
Thank you all.